Build the tools for effective advocacy with ACEC's new online course, Effective Government Engagement at the Local, State, and Federal Levels. Learn from active practitioners in the fields of advocacy, communications, and lobbying on how you can create change and stand out in today's hectic policy environment. Register today for this 5-session online course beginning March 2nd. Learn more by visiting our website at acec.org.
Welcome to the Government Affairs Update from ACEC for Friday, February 12th. We are looking today at something outside of our normal conversations about policy and the lobbying work that we're doing. And we've brought on Dave Bender, who's our Vice President of Political Affairs, to talk about the ACEC PAC, which is a potent tool in the advocacy arsenal. And wanted to talk about the PAC with Dave and kind of explain, you know, really why we have one, what it does, the purpose, and, you know, what is being done with the money that's donated through the PAC to benefit the industry. And Dave, I appreciate you taking time out of your day to join us and tackle this issue.
Good to be with you, Jeff. Thanks for having me again. You know, it's been over a year since I've been on.
I know you came on right when you came on board.
Yeah, right after you started and I started, and which is great. So it's good to be with you.
Yeah, you're one of our first guests.
That's right. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about, you know, look, but first, you know, I think everybody in our association knows who Dave Bender is. I think even before you came to ACEC National, you know, your experience in Illinois, everybody loves you, everybody knows you. But tell us a little bit more about where you fit in on the ACEC puddle.
Well, thanks, Jeff. I am the Vice President for Political Affairs, which oversees the political program for ACEC, which is serves hand in hand, sometimes a backup to our great policy and government affairs work, who is led by Steve Hall with a number of outstanding lobbyists that we do. So I work with that. I also work with Jen Pugh and Forrest Putnam, the newest member of ACEC, who we run the Political Action Committee, or ACEC PAC, which is really, I believe, probably the most instrumental thing with government affairs as a door opener, as an introducer. It's something that really is important. You know, PACs, Jeff, typically have a bad name.
Yeah.
But to me, serving in a background in campaigns and politics pretty much all my adult life, I figured this out the other night. I've done 44 state, local, and national campaigns.
Wow.
Haven't won them all, but I got a good percentage here. But I can't think of anything more patriotic, quite frankly, and maybe some people think that's a little strange, but I think it's very patriotic to be involved and engaged in political action.
Yeah. Well, you beat me by 43 races. that's true. And there is a, you know, yeah, not to get wonky, but you can go back to the Federalist Papers where it talks about this stuff, about
people
coming together, being able to amplify their voice under a common cause. And this is an expression of that by association.
That's so true. And, you know, politics, especially today, and, you know, we go through these, the country goes through these every now and then, these cycles, these up and down cycles. And but the political process is not unlike anything else in life. It's just a little bit different. It does impact people's lives, which makes it very unique. Almost every human being it impacts, but it is something that is very important to have feedback, have that engagement, for people to understand that the political process is necessary. Sometimes it gets a little messy, but it is very, very vital to their everyday lives.
And let's put some framework around the PAC. How big is it? Where does it stand in terms of our peer groups in Washington that are also operating a PAC, both in the built environment and then just generally? Where do we kind of sit as ACEC?
Well, thanks for asking that, Jeff. You know, there are about 15,000 national associations, most of them in Washington, D.C., but they're scattered throughout the country, representing a variety of industries, causes, or whatever. Our PAC, not every one of those have political action committees, but a good number of them do. Our PAC is about $2.5 million dollars per cycle. The cycle is every 2 years. And so that amount puts us into the top two, almost 1% of all political action committees in the United States or in the association world. And what's more important about that too is, as far as the, in our particular overall realm of an industry, the built industry, we're number one.
Yeah.
Some people would say, you know, the home builders, they are a little bit larger than us. They have a lot more members, but they are kind of a different type of industry. So we're number one in this part of the industry. We're bigger than road builders, which generally have, you know, a little bit more receipts, a little bit more employees than what we do, general contractors. It really is important to note that the engineers and the association that represents engineering firms is world-class in being that. So we rank number 18 in all PACs, association PACs in Washington, D.C. And when I tell that to members of Congress, when they ask the questions or when they do bring it up a little bit, they're really kind of dumbfounded. They're like, yeah. Wow, I had no idea engineers were that politically involved. So it's really unique, and it's an honor to be a part of that.
It shows the engagement level of our members. And it really does show, I mean, you're absolutely right. There are so many thousands, tens of thousands of associations that do work in Washington, D.C., and there are varying sizes. I mean, you have, of course, the heavyweight powerhouse chambers of commerce, which are on one end, and on the other end, you have smaller associations, you know, where you have the Vinegar Institute is different than the salad dressing people.
Yes. And
they break apart, right? And, yeah. And you know, and among that spectrum, you have groups that are trying to operate in the political realm, and they do have, you know, these political action committees. But when you're looking at number 18, I mean, we're scraping at the top 10 list right there. That kind of translates in Washington to, you guys are, for lack of a better word, you're a player in Washington, D.C. You're a voice, you're a group that we need to pay attention to.
Absolutely. And it has paid off in just a short time that I've gotten here. Linda has really done a really good job of making this a priority, getting our faces out there, hosting these events, not just fundraiser events, but just meet and greets, getting togethers, having a townhouse, Jeff, on Capitol Hill, which that was Linda's, one of her first goal and a vision of Steve's for many, many years. And he's just thrilled to have that. It really is a powerful tool, not just to host fundraising events there or handing a check, you know, to a candidate or a member of Congress, but we use the townhouse for a lot of other things, meetings with members of Congress. We let the members of Congress host their fly-ins. They may have a couple of fly-ins that are only 10 people that are flying in from their respective districts across the country, and they use it. And it really puts ACEC in a real great positive light.
Yeah, now without question. I mean, the experience I have as a former House staffer is, you know, having that townhouse that is steps away from the Capitol office buildings is, I mean, it really is a game changer, because it gives you a permanent presence. It gives you a physical presence on the Hill, and it makes it easier for people who have very little time on their schedules, because if they don't have meetings on the books, then they're running to and from votes, or they have a conference meeting, or they have, you know, their own activities that they have to deal with. Getting them away from that schedule and getting them in front of your audience, it's really hard, but having something that close to the Capitol makes it easier, not just, you know, on the political side, but just the advocacy side, the face-to-face time. And like you mentioned, it's just not our own activities, but, you know, outside of the political action committees that are organized through the trade association space, the parties themselves, the candidates themselves, have their own PACs that they are running to help their own members And it helps them get kind of recognized by leadership. And it gives us a location to allow those members to host their events as well.
That is true, Jeff. And we hosted a couple of those recently where the national party committees want to do events where they invite other PACs to come and contribute, say hello, have a cocktail or just a soft drink and maybe some popcorn shrimp or something like that. We've been able to host those there. And that also shows you that the power of ACC as the leader, not only are we thought leaders in the industry, we're also political leaders in this industry too. And that also puts us more in a positive light. And I think that's just going to continue to grow, Jeff.
Yeah. So we've had 2,992 unique contributors and 718 were new. And 58% of those contributions were under $100 or less.
That is correct, Jeff. And I'm glad you brought that up because to me, yes, we value our major donors. We have a Capital Club program, which has 26 members where they give the maximum $5,000. And those are awesome to have. And we have some people that have given for several years in a row, and they're really truly our leaders. And then we have a $2,500 Chairman's Club. We have a $1,000 Millennium Club, which was 254 members last year did that join that club. But to me, if you're going to have a PAC to survive, you know, on down the road, you're not only building for now, you're building for future. It was so great to see those 700 plus people as first time contributors, especially 58% of them given $100 or less. That's the metrics that we want to get. And I will tell you, you kind of wonder, okay, well, what brought them over to the PAC? What was it? Was it a piece of marketing we did? Was it something that people brought them there? And I think it was a little bit of everything. But let me tell you what happened, Jeff. In my opinion, the pandemic obviously was a really awful time from March 14th of last year through currently now. And we were really in bad shape of raising money. I mean, that was the last thing on everyone's mind, including ours. But it came around to 4th of July weekend. I looked and compared to where we were 2019 to where we were today last year compared to 2019. And we were $250,000 down, $250,000 to make up in six months just to catch up and make our $1 million goal. That really worried me. But our folks really did a great job in coming together and getting that done. But those people, since we weren't able to have our April or May spring convention, where 700-800 people march on Capitol Hill, they meet face to face in the offices of their members of Congress, and usually there's 4 or 5 people in those things. This past year, we did it virtually. Mm-hmm. And it exposed all kinds of new people that ordinarily were not able to come to Washington, D.C. or were not allowed to go to Washington, D.C. It exposed them first time, face-to-face meetings over screen with those members of Congress. I happen to believe that really paid dividends into it getting those 700 plus new
yeah. Yeah, I mean, beyond the PAC even. I mean, it's just that it was that unknown time, especially at the beginning of the pandemic in March, and then when we realized the severity of it and what it meant, and when Washington essentially shut down, you know, there was a question of, okay, how do you do an effective advocacy program when for decades you've had in-person, face-to-face meetings, scheduled meetings with members of Congress, physical fly-ins, so what do you do now? And it went virtual, and I think what we found, to your example, and then also examples with Steve's advocacy, it exposed a lot more people to be able to be in a room, albeit virtually, with their member of Congress or with their senator. And to have that even virtual face-to-face time, I think it energized a lot of people who otherwise would not have been politically inclined.
I totally agree with that, Jeff. And I sat in on a lot of those calls. I think you sat in on maybe a few of them yourself. Mm-hmm. And you saw that interaction. And I got the feedback back from the members and the first-time members. And I saw the enthusiasm in them. And I think overwhelmingly, the visits went great. I mean, we all were a little bit unsure how this was going to work, including the members of Congress. They've never done it before like this either. But it actually worked really, really well. It exposed these members and gave them an opportunity to get introduced to government, a little bit about what ACEC does, what our issues were. They didn't feel compelled to talk if they didn't feel comfortable to speaking or ask a question, but they had a chance to see that these members of Congress are just like them. They're real people, real issues, trying to solve some really complex issues.
So what about the states? We are a federation, of course, you know, 52 state and metropolitan councils. What are the states that really stand out in terms of hitting their goals or really outperforming related to the PAC?
Well, we've got some really fabulous states. And had there not been a pandemic, I think you would have seen possibly California may have been the top state this year. They've never met their PAC goal because they're just so big and their PAC goal is so large and they're so spread out. But they're coming close. We were supposed to obviously have our fall conference there, and we arranged with Brad Deedy and his great group of volunteers that we meet with on a monthly basis to host a nice little cocktail reception in a really cool area. And it would have probably generated enough money for them to go over their goal. So they're going to really compete this year too, I believe, to have that back. You know, New York always is exceptional. They've got great leaders there. And of course, Jay Simpson is the godfather of all executive directors who's going to retire this year. And I believe, Jeff, this year, they may get over $100,000 if they make it all about Jay.
Yeah.
I think that might be so they would be the first state to get over $100,000. Illinois, my former state, loves to compete. We're very competitive. It's our birthright to make political contributions. I mean, the city of Chicago and whatever, but Kevin Ardle is just killing it. And I may add, the last few months of last year, Kevin just kicked it into gear. He got a lot of those first-time contributors, a lot of those $50 contributions, $100 contributions, and they ended up being first.
Yeah.
The most contributions of 250 contributions. But Indiana, Jeff, is just so rock solid. Not only do they have checks that arrive at our mailbox on January 1st to meet their goal, last year they got 180% of their goal. Mm-hmm. I look for them possibly maybe even get double their goal this year, which will be unbelievable. You know, but it's really heartwarming to see smaller states.
Yeah.
Are really doing a good job and keep on going. And we are just so blessed and fortunate to have some really cool member organizations with their PAC champions. We have 80 volunteer PAC champions, Jeff, that volunteer their time, that really want to, that understand the value of this, that really get it. And they're spending a lot of time doing it. So Minnesota achieved their goal for the very first time last year. Very first time. And all it took was, you know, their new executive director, John Curry, did an awesome job of just saying, hey, let's get this thing done. And we're seeing that happen with new execs that's coming.
Yeah. So you mentioned 2021 and kind of the challenges that we're still under. What are you looking at right now as a forecast? What do you have in mind for the outlook for the remainder of the year in terms of, you know, working with the MOs, working with, you know, our champs on virtual events and potentially even, you know, who knows, in-person functions?
Well, I'm hearing, you know, in-person functions, maybe small ones that we can still be back to outdoor or in big areas that are safe, probably sometime, hopefully early summer, if not sometime during the summer, if not after the Labor Day area. You know, it's encouraging watching, you know, all the vaccinations that's happening and new leadership of President Biden when he's solely driven on, you know, accomplishing our goals to meet our vaccinations and get this economy back going fully as best as can. I think that's going to be, we're going to see a lot of those. And, you know, a lot of our member organizations really like that. It just, all member organizations like face-to-face. We like networking. Yeah. Engineers are really enjoy doing that because they don't get a chance to do it very often. And that's where they raise the bulk of their funding. That's probably not going to happen certainly much the first half of the year. Golf outings was another perfect example last year. A lot of folks, a lot of member organizations raised a lot of money for golf outings. But you know what stepped up, Jeff, this last year was the sweepstakes program.
Mm-hmm.
We generated $722,000 in sweepstakes in the four sweepstakes with 7,000 entries. It was we stuffed over the little squirrel cage that we have to make the drawing. We couldn't use it. We had to go to a recycle bin to draw out names, which is a great problem to have.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we're thinking about, Jeff, maybe this year is doing the four, you know, mess with greatness there with that program, but maybe adding a fifth sweepstakes program, and maybe not a monetary one, maybe add like a Peloton bike.
Yeah.
Especially with the COVID-15, maybe that a lot of people have gained. They may like the fact that, you know, like someone on your staff, Jerry Donahue, who's a prolific bike rider.
Yes.
Len Schlosser on our policy, that prolific bike rider. Of course, they do it for real. They do it outside.
In the yeah, they actually, yeah. They actually, yeah.
And risk, you know, their lives every day doing it. But we thought about doing that and maybe adding a new flavor to it, like we're creating a first-time donor program or maybe our Frontier Club, which we're rolling out this year, which is $200 minimum contribution for 35 years and younger. Part of our memo teams or our member firms. And so maybe doing that or our recurring program. Jeff, I'd love to see more people. We've become a Netflix society. Everything's on a monthly subscription. You can do that with your pack. We only had 25 of those last year. I was one of them. I don't like writing a big pack check out once. That's kind of painful, but I don't mind it being part of my monthly bills. I just do it monthly via my credit card. So we're really going to start to promote and push that. And I think Nebraska is going to try to get to their goal, 100% of their goal, just on recurring. So do some different things. That, you know, some of it will stick, some of it won't.
I mean, that's the one thing you've been is very flexible and creative in meeting the challenges that COVID has forced upon us. So that's, you know, it sounds like it's going to be an interesting year without question. So, I mean, Dave, if people are interested in just learning more about the PAC, and reaching out for more information, where should they go?
Jeff, they can go to our website. We try to keep it updated as much as we can. It's as Linda and you have done a great job of saying, okay, we need to update our website a little better, make it a little bit more user friendly, and you've made vast improvements on it. I just got a sneak peek early this afternoon of the new PAC website. That is just awesome. And I asked Jen, I go, tell me this is going to come out really soon. It's basically got an easy button. If for those who want to contribute, they just go right there and do it. But it's really informative. It praises the people that have made contributions. It's interactive. It's really going to be great. You can go there or you can just email myself or Jen, you know, our first initial last name at acc.org. Happy to help and happy to answer your questions.
Wonderful. Well, Dave, thank you for taking the time today explaining the PAC and kind of where it sits. I'm sure that a lot of people are interested in learning more and just figuring out exactly where we stand. And I think you put that in good, clear terms for us.
Thank you, Jeff. It's a pleasure. And thanks for mentioning the PAC and having us on today. We appreciate it.
Yeah. So that, again, has been the Government Affairs Update for February 12th, 2021. And we'll see you next week.
Build the tools for effective advocacy with ACEC's new online course, Effective Government Engagement at the Local, State, and Federal Levels. Learn from active practitioners in the fields of advocacy, communications, and lobbying on how you can create change and stand out in today's hectic policy environment. Register today for this 5-session online course beginning March 2nd. Learn more by visiting our website at acec.org.